Our sermon text this morning is from Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. Acts 1, 1 through 11. Now hear the word of the Lord. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive, after his suffering, by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Father, we rejoice in this blessed opportunity to gather in your holy presence. Lord, you sit on your holy throne and you reign over the nations. Teach us now from your word that we may carry out your will on earth and over all that is under your feet. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, this past Thursday was the 40th day from Easter. And it was 40 days after the resurrection of Jesus Christ when he ascended into heaven. Now we hear from God's word what took place during those 40 days. And today is Ascension Sunday. So we remember this historical event. Now, the church celebrates much of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we commemorate the pivotal events in his earthly life and the significance they have had for God's people, for history, for creation. And the ascension is such an event. We begin with the coming, the advent of the Son of God in his incarnation, where he brought divinity into creation. He brought divinity into humanity. Heaven came to earth in the incarnation. We remember his suffering and death in his crucifixion, where he reconciled all things to God and he defeated the one who had the power of death. So incarnation, crucifixion, next, resurrection. Boys and girls, there's a lot of shunning happening today. Jesus' resurrection from the dead defeated death and the grave, and he was vindicated as the Christ in his resurrection. As a result of Jesus' resurrection, the Father gave all things to Jesus, his Son. Remember the words of the Great Commission, the foundation, the impetus of the church going forward. Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. All. Now these events, incarnation, crucifixion, resurrection, they're all quite significant. But the gospel story doesn't end with crucifixion. The gospel story doesn't end in resurrection. The cross and the empty tomb are central for telling the story of the world, for telling God's plan for history. But we hear in the preaching of the apostles, in the work of the early church, that another event truly mattered. One such example is Acts 2 at Pentecost. Peter preached, "Our father David, foreseeing the resurrection, spoke concerning the resurrection of the Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses." The crucifixion and resurrection changed the world. Undoubtedly. The cross is the worldwide symbol of the church. The empty tomb is essential to our faith. Without the resurrection, we're still in our sins. We are to be most pitied, for our faith is in vain. So we don't diminish those other events. They matter. Peter certainly didn't. But the apostles pointed those events to the ascension. Continuing with Peter in Acts chapter 2. "Therefore, this Jesus, being exalted to the right hand of God, having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to the heavens, but he said in himself, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool.' Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." The ascension is the climax of the gospel story. God's work through Israel always pointed forward to the ascension. The Christ, the Messiah Jesus, he would come and he would be exalted. So many prophecies, so many scriptural references point to this. One such example, in Psalm 2, which we'll sing after the sermon. Verses 7 through 9, "I will declare the decree. Yahweh has said to me, 'You are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance, the ends of the earth for your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel." Brothers and sisters, Jesus is king. He is installed on Zion. He's ruling the nations with a rod of iron. And we rejoice in this reality. We ought to rejoice in it. God's people looked forward to this event with good reason. Now, the Jews didn't rightly understand what the Messiah would do and how he would overcome the enemy. He wouldn't do it through military might, but he would do it through suffering and death. But the Jews understood the importance of the exaltation of Jesus Christ. From Daniel chapter 7, one such example. Daniel's vision. "I watched till thrones were put in place, and the Ancient of Days was seated." That's God the Father. "The Ancient of Days was seated. His garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was a fiery flame, its wheels as burning fire. I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom the one which shall not be destroyed. That is the event to which God's people look forward. And that is the event that was the climax of the preaching of the apostles and the work of the early church. And that's why Acts, the book of Acts, opens with the ascension. Yes, it was the next chronological step from resurrection, but God's redemptive plan in history moved forward and hinged greatly on the exaltation of the Son, Jesus, at the right hand of the Father. And when he ascended into heaven, something truly significant was happening in Israel, in Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Continuing, the preaching of the apostles, Acts 5. Peter the apostles preached, "We ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus," resurrection, "raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree," crucifixion. "Him God has exalted to his right hand to be prince and savior." The ascension wasn't simply some neat thing Jesus did. It wasn't some parlor trick to impress the disciples. It was the next step in his exaltation. And frankly, he deserved it. Jesus deserved to be exalted, because his incarnation always led to his ascension, his exaltation. Jesus, in his incarnation, left behind the heavenly glory. He condescended in humility to his people. He removed his heavenly garments. He got down and washed his people, disrobing. And he left that glory only to be exalted back to glory, from glory unto glory. The incarnation of the Son showed us that God cared about his creation, that God cared about humanity, those made in his image. Boys and girls, do you know John 3:16? "For God so loved the world, he loved what he made, that he gave his Son, that he sent his Son." In the incarnation, heaven came to earth. But the ascension showed that God cared about creational rule. God cared about sovereignty over creation. And God cared about restoring divine fellowship with humanity. Jesus brought earth to heaven. Jesus brought humanity to heaven. When he ascended, not only did Jesus go to the Father, he led a host of captives to heaven. The saints join in heaven on thrones, not just angels. Jesus ascended and prepared a place for all those who die in him. Heaven's more crowded now because of the ascension. The triumphant saints reside in heaven. They rejoice in the Son, and they sit on thrones with the Son reigning over creation. And he's prepared a place for you too. A place in heaven. Brothers and sisters, that's good and glorious. You have the name of the King of the universe written across your forehead. How does that treat you? Do you have any fear of hell or condemnation? Any fear of what man can do to you? Do you have any fear that this story of history, this story of creation, the story of your lives, isn't playing out exactly as Jesus wants it to? As he's bringing it about? He is the ascended king, and you belong to him. The world and history changed with Jesus. The way we view the world changed with Jesus. The way we tell time. AD, the year of our Lord. It all changed. Everything is different now because of Jesus. The way we view sin is different now. Sin no longer has dominion over you. You've been set free. The earth is different now. We might not know how, all the details of how it's different. We have trouble seeing it. But we weren't alive before the first advent of the Son of God. But God tells us in His Word that the earth has changed. There's a new day of rest, for one. And Jesus is making all things new, including humanity. There is now a new human race. There is a washed human race in fellowship with God. That's different. And heaven is different now because of Jesus. There are people up there right now. Image bearers. We live this reality in our worship. In worship, we ascend into fellowship with God. We join the company of the angels and the triumphant saints in worship. Because of Jesus, we get to go to heaven on the Lord's Day. We ascend in Him in worship. We get to worship in the Spirit. Heavenly access, heavenly privileges in Jesus. And that's no small detail. It makes worship a little more important, doesn't it? What are you guys doing on Sunday? Oh, we're going to heaven. What are you doing? Just think about sleeping in on Sunday. Maybe going to a brunch, watching the game. Oh, we're going to go to heaven. Don't miss it, because we'll go without you. Why are we getting dressed up today? Mom and Dad, why do I have to wear this nice shirt? Well, we're going to see God today. We're going to heaven. Jesus opened up heaven for us. So let's join Him for worship. We can list off all the great things Jesus did. And we ought to live in what He accomplished in His ascension. Because it's a heavy reality. The Father gave all authority to the Son, the resurrected Jesus. But where did Jesus take that authority? He took the authority back up to heaven. He didn't tell His disciples, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Let's build a castle for my reign." No. He took authority to heaven. He said, "I have all authority. See you later." In fact, much later. Boys and girls, do you know what the most quoted Old Testament verse is in the New Testament? Psalm 110, verse 1. "The Lord said to my Lord, 'Sit in my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet.'" Until. That's a pretty important word. Until. "Sit at my right hand." The Ancient of Days told the Son of Man, Jesus, "Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet." Brothers and sisters, we have a job to do. That Jesus really expects us to do it. And He's given us the power to do it. And He's not going to come back until all His enemies are under His feet. The last one being death. The ascension was pivotal for the continued work of the church. Remember those marching orders again, the Great Commission. "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, therefore, go discipling the nations, baptizing and teaching them to obey all that I've commanded you. This authority was based on the finished work of Jesus. All authority. And with that authority that the Father's given the Son, he charged the church with discipling the nations. The Father intends for the nations to be in submission to Jesus. If you look around you, the church has a lot of work to do. We have a lot of work to do. Our to-do list for the nations is pretty long. Such a to-do list might drive most people to anxiety. How are we supposed to get all this done? How are we supposed to disciple all the nations? Have you seen how many nations there are? More than 70 these days. If you look around the culture, it looks like we're moving backward. How can we catch up? How can we get all this work done? If we see this task with the eyes of faith, it's not an impossible task. And you need to have eyes of faith. Not weak eyes of the flesh. Eyes of faith. You need eyes of faith. Eyes of faith believe that God could create the heavens and the earth in 6 days. That's what eyes of faith see. Eyes of faith believe that the infinite God could dwell in finite flesh. That's what eyes of faith see. The eyes of faith believe a tomb can't hold the God-man Jesus Christ. That's what eyes of faith see. And if you believe all that, then you can believe that Jesus is king over all creation. And you can believe his people can get the job done. If you have eyes of faith, you believe that the nations can actually be discipled to obey Jesus as king. Brothers and sisters, do you take Jesus at his word that he has all authority? Despite what your eyes of flesh see, despite what the voices around us are telling us, do you believe it? What do those voices tell us? Those voices around us. Those voices tell us there's no way that the earth could be created in 6 days. There's no way that Jesus was 100% God and 100% man. There's no way. There's no way he rose from the dead. Do you listen to those voices when they say that? If you don't believe that, why can't we dismiss them when they argue against both the sufficiency of the resurrection and the sufficiency of the ascension? Why do we listen to them about the ascension? Why can't we live in the reality that our Lord, Jesus Christ, is ruling right now? Why can't we live in the reality that he's in total control? That he's bringing creation to where he wants it to go? We can, and we should. In response to this, we ought to believe. We ought to rejoice. We ought to believe that the Creator of the universe holds all things in his hands and has a direction for all things. We ought to believe that this world is a theocracy, and Jesus is the King of kings and Lord of lords. That all live under his authority, whether they recognize it or not, whether they confess it or not, whether they submit to it or not. We ought to rejoice in the historical event of the ascension and all that it implies. One such example from Ephesians 1. The Father raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet. Jesus is king. Every nation is to submit to Jesus. The United States is to submit to Jesus. Iran is to submit to Jesus. North Korea is to submit to Jesus. He has all authority in heaven and Alabama. All authority in heaven and your places of employment. All authority in heaven and City Hall, the Chamber of Commerce, the United Nations. Jesus has all authority in heaven and on earth. And the effect of what he's accomplished is for the enjoyment of his people. He gives all of this to us. Continuing in Ephesians 1. The Father gave Christ to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And you he made alive, you who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But remember, sin changed. Sin changed because of Jesus. Continuing, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love in which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved. And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. In the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, you want dominion restored to humanity? Jesus gives us that. You want to carry out the task of subduing creation? Jesus gives us that. You want heavenly access and perfect fellowship with God? Jesus gives us that. For we faithfully serve this King of Kings. We submit to him gladly, joyfully, willingly. Because everyone will eventually. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. We believe it now, and we rejoice in it now. And we go forth. After we depart, we go forth, and we live and serve the King, and we minister in the authority of his name. So, brothers and sisters, rejoice, because the ascension is real. Celebrate it, because it's real. Live like it's that important to us and to humanity, to creation. Live the ascended life. Do you live the crucified life? You're no longer enslaved to sin? You're dead to sin? No longer enslaved to the devil? You live the crucified life. Do you live the resurrected life? You're new in Jesus? You're living new lives? You're in the eternal life right now, not fearing the grave, counting on your own resurrection, counting on that resurrected body. You live the resurrection life. Live the ascension life. Celebrate the ascension. Celebrate the ascension like you do Christmas. Boys and girls, don't you think we ought to get presents for the ascension? There are a lot more heads that popped up right there. Celebrate the ascension like you do Christmas, Good Friday, and Easter. When did God restore creation to humanity? in the ascension. When did God give Christians heavenly access? In the ascension. I'd like to conclude with a reading from Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Christians, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on earth, for you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. That means live. Live like heaven is governing things. When you read the news, when you hear about the politics of the world, of our nation, read them as though the king is ruling the nations with a rod of iron. When things happen on a global scale, read it, interpret it, as Jesus is the one bringing that to fulfillment. Live like we're moving more and more in the direction of his will being done on earth as it is in heaven. And we're about to sing, whenever there's unrest and unrule in the world, I say to myself, take two Psalm 2s and call me in the morning. Read Psalm 2, love Psalm 2, rejoice in Psalm 2. For Jesus' sake, amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come in the strong and authoritative name of your Son, Jesus Christ. We rejoice that you hear us because of his finished work. We praise you that earth is yours and all those who dwell therein. We take great comfort that you've not left the world to rot or to be run by tyrants. You reign and are making all things new. Make us new, O Lord. Strengthen our faith and our obedience and our service to the King of Kings. Use your people to accomplish your ends. Bring all the nations in submission to yourself and remake this world by your Spirit. Glorify yourself in your people and in your creation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.